Mark chapter 4, 1 to 34. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out on the lake, while all the people along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teachings said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he scattered this. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds scattered along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word from that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamb and to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know why or how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it to the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows to become the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
Listen. There were four brothers who were all born together. The first runs and never wearies. The second eats and is never full. The third drinks and is always thirsty. The fourth roars but is never angry. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, The plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the start of Jesus' ministry, and it has been an explosive start. Jesus has come in like a bombshell. I was going to say wrecking ball, but that would have been terrible, wouldn't it? He's coming like a bombshell into Israel. And demons have been thrown out, the kingdom of God has been preached, sins have been forgiven, and he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. And people are travelling hundreds of miles to come and hear him. This is really big stuff. But not everyone's been impressed. His family think that he's mad, that the whole situation has just gotten too much for him. The religious leaders are pushing this line that he's demon-possessed. And in the midst of all this excitement, all this teaching and these miracles and healings, Jesus tells this random, weird, agricultural story. Seed scattered here, seed scattered there. Some gets eaten, some withers in the sun, some gets choked by thorns, and some produces a bumper crop. Fun facts on farming with Jesus. But what is going on? You hear that story and, well, what are you supposed to make of it? It seems pointless. And yet there is this little hint that there might be something more going on. More than just Jesus tells a random pointless story. Because he starts by saying, listen. And then he finishes it with, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. He's kind of saying, listen up, pay attention. Do you get it? But what is there to get? It seems like a totally impenetrable story. What are you supposed to make of it? If Jesus is such a great teacher, then how come he does such a bad job? He's not going to get any excellence in teaching awards for this. I mean, have you ever been in a lecture that just made no sense to you? We were looking at this passage in a business Bible study last week and looking through this, and John Eggleston said, oh, I've just been in a class like that. I had no idea what was going on. So I just, I left and I went and did some study. I've cleared this with John, don't worry, I won't do this sort of thing to you without asking your permission. And maybe he was right, maybe it was just a total waste of time. I don't know, I wasn't there. But how else could you respond? I mean, you could just get up and leave. I've got better things to do with my time. What else could you do? That's a non-rhetorical question, feel free to answer. Ask questions. Yes. I think that's nailed it in one. There's a dutiful commerce student right there. Yeah. You could hang around and say to the lecturer afterwards, look, I'm really sorry, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Could you explain it to me? And both responses actually happen here to Jesus in verse 10. Have a look at it with me. You see that when he was alone, that is when everyone's kind of left and they've gone home scratching their heads, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Notice they don't just ask him about the parable, they ask about the parables. Why is it that Jesus, who earlier in Mark seemed so clear in what he was preaching, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news, it's quite clear. Especially if you've got your Old Testament background. But now he's telling random agricultural stories. What is the point of that? What does it mean? And why would you start doing this just when the crowds are starting to get big? I mean, isn't this the thing that he was waiting for people to come and hear him? And suddenly he switches gears into this stuff that seems to make no sense. Jesus explains in verse 11, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." See, Jesus is telling parables so that people won't understand what he's talking about. Is that the weirdest explanation you've ever come across? That is a really strange thing. It seems to be worse than, I was having a bit of an off day and I hadn't really prepped my material properly and, don't you hate it when you tell a joke and you leave the punchline off, kind of thing? No, he's deliberately doing this. And it sounds like the message is only for insiders. He speaks in parables because he doesn't want them to understand, because he doesn't want them to be forgiven. Isn't that weird? Yet the persistence of the 12 and the others around him pays off, because in verses 14 to 20, Jesus actually tells them what it means. He explains in verse 14 that the seed that is sown is the word. And as we've gone through Mark, we've seen that the word that he's speaking is the word about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has arrived because Jesus is the king. He's arrived. And as it's preached, this message has different responses, like seed falling on different types of soil. With some people, it's like seed just sort of landing on a path. You throw it down and the word doesn't seem to have any impact. It just sort of bounces straight off. The birds come along and eat it. Satan snaffles up the message. Other people are like rocky ground. They hear the word and at first it really seems like it has sunk in, because they spring up with joy and they seem to come alive. They start growing, but then as soon as things heat up, as soon as pressure and persecution comes upon them, they wither up like a rootless plant in the sun. Still others, like those in verses 18 to 19, are like soil that has thorns in it. The word goes in, they seem to grow, but then the troubles of life and the temptations of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke them, strangle them, and they wither and die too. They looked good for a while, but they never really became fruitful. Well, maybe you've seen people respond that way to the gospel. Maybe you've got classmates who just seem impervious to the message about Jesus. You throw it out there and it just goes ping and bounces straight off. It makes no impact at all. Maybe you've seen people who respond with joy to the gospel. And then sometime later, troubles come up. Maybe their parents have opposed them, have resisted them putting their faith in Jesus. Maybe their friends have turned their back on them. And under the heat and the pressure, they just wither up and they give up. Or maybe you've seen people who really seemed like they were following Jesus, but then their boyfriend or their girlfriend came along and they wanted to sleep with them, and the secret struggles with sin that they never really came clean about, the part-time job that ended up mattering more than Jesus, the pathetic, trivial, banal little hopes of Western society, a nice house in the suburb, a couple of cars, a wife, 2.3 kids. I've seen all of that sort of thing happen in the last couple of years with CU, with people that I've been involved with. And it's enough to make you wonder whether the gospel really works. Now, if that's the effect that it has, What's the point? Does it produce any fruit? But there is one more group, the good soil. And these guys hear the word, they accept it, and it produces a crop, a bumper crop, 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Suddenly what was dead in the ground has sprung to life. And it shows us that the problem was never with the seed. If the gospel was useless, it would never work. But it does. Because when it hits good soil, it has an incredible effect. Proud, selfish, spiritually dead people come to life. They come to faith in Jesus, and suddenly they produce a crop of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. People who had lived their whole lives hating God and just being obnoxious to other people around them suddenly turn into people who love God and they love their neighbour. And when you see that happen, you realise that the problem was never with the seed. It was always with the soil. Not the message, but the hearers. So then why does Jesus speak to them in parables? Is it because he doesn't want them to understand? Well, have a look at verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, do you think I actually brought this message in, brought this light, so that I could just hide it? Did I just come with this amazing message, this thing that gives light to people and brings them to life, so that I could stick it under a bowl? No, that's ridiculous. Who does that? No, he brought the light so that he could stick it on a stand, so that everyone could see it. So how come he speaks in parables? Especially a parable as impenetrable as the parable of the sower. Well, verse 24. "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more." Just consider carefully what you hear. Don't be like the bulk of the crowd who just wandered off scratching their head. A bit puzzled. A weird story. Waste of time. Why bother? No, he says, consider it, think it through, try and grapple with it and understand it. Jesus doesn't tell pointless stories. So what does this story mean? Yet it is difficult. Jesus' parables are not simple children's tales. They're not sort of moral fables like the hare and the tortoise. You know, slow and steady wins the race. They're not nice little kids' things, bedtime tales. No, they're puzzles. They're riddles. So what do you do when someone tells you a riddle? Well, normally you try and figure it out, don't you? "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Jesus is saying, will you put the time and effort into understanding him? Or will you just unthinkingly dismiss what he says? Will you stick around after the lecture and ask, what was all that about? Or will you just dismiss him as a waste of time? And Jesus says, if you do the first, you'll be rewarded with understanding. If you do the second, you'll lose any opportunity to understand at all. Even what you have will be taken from you. You'll be exposed as ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, and you will be unable to turn and be forgiven. Does Jesus tell parables to hide his message? No. He tells them to expose his hearers. Has anyone figured out that riddle that I told you at the start? Brayden?
So the running off the water.
Yep.
The one that's always thirsty is what?
Yep.
Sorry,
that's not quite right, but keep going.
The one that's always hungry is fire.
Yep, the one that's always hungry is fire. Yep.
The one that's always thirsty is earth.
Yep.
The one that's always roaring
is wind. Yes, that's right. The one that's always roaring but is never angry is wind. Exactly right. Yes, nailed it. Now you can all take a deep breath and relax now that you've figured it out. Very good. Yes. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's not immediately obvious, and it reveals what kind of person you are. Are you the sort of person who will persevere and try and nut it out, and if you can't nut it out, come and ask the person who told you the riddle to explain it? Or do you just go, doesn't make any sense? So what does the parable of the sower reveal about you? And what are you going to do about it? Because Jesus isn't telling this parable to be fatalistic. He's not saying that, maybe you're just the path or the rocky or thorny soil and that's just it. You are what you are. Sorry. So yeah. No, the point of telling the parable is so that you examine yourself and consider, what trajectory am I on? Where am I heading? What kind of soil am I like at the moment? How am I responding to Jesus' message of the kingdom? Well, how are you? Is it just being snatched up by Satan as it bounces off your rock-hard heart? If you've got any inkling that you are that kind of soil, then praise God that you are not so hard-hearted that you can't even hear that. But turn back to God. Listen to Jesus' warning. Throw yourself on his mercy. Submit yourself to him as God's king. Whatever you do, don't just wander off scratching your head going, what's all that about? Come and ask someone. Think it through before you become so hard-hearted that nothing sinks in. Or maybe you have heard the message and there was a time when you received it with joy, but now things just feel hard. Maybe your parents are opposed to you. Maybe your friends are making life difficult. Well, what are you going to do? Will you just give up and wither up in the heat? Or will you allow the message of the kingdom to sink in? Will you hear the reality that Jesus is king, that he is in control, not those who persecute you, that he is Lord, and he loves you, and that if you hold on to him, he will bring you safe into his kingdom? Will you seek out other people to encourage you in that? Or will you just give up? Or are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth starting to choke you? You want those clothes. You want the latest phone. You want the trip to Europe. Are you living for those things instead of the kingdom of God? Can I be frank? It seems to me that a lot of you are very busy with all sorts of things and that you're pulling back from your Christian involvement in not just CU, but church and other things too. You're too tired for your church Bible study. You can't meet with anyone to read the Bible and pray with them because you've got another shift that you've taken on at work. Now, if you need to work that much in order to live, well, that's fine. God understands that. But do you really need to work so much? Or have you actually confused the cost of living with the cost of lifestyle? Be very careful. Be very careful. Because unless you're paying attention, you won't even notice the weeds. kids. They'll just grow up bit by bit and slowly strangle you inch by inch until one day you'll wake up and you're dead. And the kingdom of God will mean nothing to you. Listen. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Where are you heading? Are you pursuing a life that will see the gospel die in your heart and mind? Snatched away by Satan, withered by suffering, choked by greed. Brothers and sisters, don't let it happen. Shoo away the devil. Put your roots down deep. Take a machete to the thorns. How do you do that? Well, you do it by letting the message of Jesus, the King of God's kingdom, sink deeply into your heart and mind. You feed it, you water it, you care for it, because you know that it will bear fruit in your life. The more you hear the gospel, the more you consider it carefully, the more you understand it, then the more fruitful you will be. The more you understand and believe the gospel, the more you will grow in your love for God, who sent his son Jesus to die for you on the cross. You'll grow in humility because you know that your king died for your sins and that you're welcomed into his kingdom, not because of anything that you've done, but entirely because of his mercy and grace. You'll grow in your love for others because you will really understand and believe that you are just a sinner like them and that you have simply been saved by God's grace. But you'll also grow in your confidence and security because you know it's not about your achievements and you know that Jesus has risen from the dead and is reigning right now as the King of God's kingdom. Jesus is in control. He is sovereign and he loves you. You'll grow in your capacity to persevere and endure because you're looking forward to the day when Jesus returns in all his glory to welcome you into his new creation. And you'll grow in your desire to share the gospel with others because you have really grasped and experienced yourself just how powerful it is. Sometimes the gospel feels like it isn't powerful. It feels like sharing the good news that Jesus is king is just a waste of time, like it's not going to change anything. But it does. Now have a look at verses 26 to 32 here. Jesus says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." The message of the kingdom might seem trivial. A tiny seed, often planted and forgotten, even by the one who planted it. What difference can it make in this world of armies and multinational corporations? A world of rampant sin and smug self-righteousness. And yet it does. You may not even notice it. But it grows and grows until it becomes bigger than you could ever have imagined. We can see that better now than the disciples ever could, I guess. There's just 12 of them, maybe a few more, following Jesus back then. But 2 billion people now claim to follow Jesus. And even though I'm sure many of them are not really sincere, they're not really following him, there's still hundreds of millions who are. That is extraordinary growth. Jesus was absolutely right. The gospel might seem trivial, but it produces an extravagant crop in us, among us, around us, and through us. And this is what God says, and I know that you have seen God do it. But do you really believe it? Will you trust God's word? Is the gospel something that you'll nurture in your own heart and mind? Is it something that you'll sow into the hearts and minds of others? Will you be good soil? Will you believe God that there's other good soil out there just waiting for someone to throw the seed in, and that someone could be you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is powerful, that it brings life from the dead and real fruitfulness. Please help us to keep hearing it. In Jesus' name, amen.